I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Luke. And I've got several verses I want to read to you so they'll be fresh in your mind. We'll begin reading in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," that is, Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Now, as we begin this study here in Luke and looking at these verses, Luke's testimony is what we're looking at, his testimony of the gospel. We're going to be introduced to 2 men. The first is John the Baptist, and then the second, the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses we've just read have to do with John the Baptist. Why is John the Baptist such a prominent figure in the Gospels? They all talk about John. Every one of them talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Why was he such a prominent figure? Why was he included in the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, because he's prophesied to come just before the coming of the Lord. If you'll recall our study in the book of Malachi, I gave you two verses there in Malachi 3:1. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in." And then in Malachi 4:5, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I want to show you something over here as to why this was so necessary. In Luke 24 and verse 44, yes, this is after our Lord's resurrection. You remember the story. He appeared to the two men walking on the road to Emmaus and said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures were written of me." And then he tells them this after he met with them the second time. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." The book we're reading this morning is a hymn book, H.I.M. This book is the testimony of God concerning His Son. Every detail set forth by the Holy Ghost through His prophets and in the law must be fulfilled. Isaiah said, "There shall be a voice of one crying in the wilderness." Well, is there going to be a voice? You better believe it. John has to come. He's that voice. That's what he told him. He said, I'm not the Christ. He said, I'm just a voice, one crying in the wilderness. In Malachi, it says his messenger shall precede him. Well, will he? Absolutely. He has to, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. If there be no messenger sent, then there could be no Messiah coming. And the first thing I want you to take note of is the first word. I want you to look back to verse 5 of our text back in Luke. And I want you to notice the first word that he the Holy Ghost will have Luke to capitalize the word there. Not the first letter of it, as the word that's beginning a sentence, but every letter of that word is capitalized. You see it? See it there in the scriptures? He intends us to know that in this particular time, in this particular place, and by this particular man, the scriptures are being fulfilled. I want to tell you something. Every event, every breath you take, everything that goes on in this world is exactly, in every detail, according to the providence of God. There's not a gnat that buzzes or a fly or a bee that stings or anything. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And I guess we'd drive ourselves crazy if we just sat home and started thinking about it. But ever so often, The Lord just pinches a little piece of time out and He shows us the details of it. He's going to show us the details of His providence. And that's what He's doing here. He just capitalizes this word there. There. Right in this spot. Right here. Take note. Take note. I'm going to show you something. The prophecies of Malachi are being fulfilled. It's during the reign of Herod the Great, appointed as king, I suppose you could say, or ruler over Judea, Herod the Great, and under, or during his reign, this particular man, during his reign, there was a priest named Zacharias. It says in our text, a certain man. This wasn't just any man, it was a certain man. This was a man chosen of God before the foundation of the world. And his course, his lot in life is to do this very thing. He's going to be the father of John the Baptist. And I want you to see how the Lord singles out the events of His providence as they relate to certain things. All of His providence is arranged and brought to pass accordingly, but in special cases, He stops and points it out to us. Zacharias, it says, was of the course of Abijah. Does anybody in here know what that means? I've read that 100 times and never even thought about it. Well, Zacharias was of the Levitical priesthood. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Back in 1 Chronicles 24:1, he tells us something about the divisions of the Levitical priesthood. That is, they were divided unto certain tasks. And he selected 24 men. Now, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar were the priests of that time. And God killed Nadab and Abihu for doing what was unlawful inside the temple. So David appointed in their place an extra son from each of the other sons, Zadok of the tribe of Eleazar, and Ahimelech of Ithamar. These 4 men. And so among the sons of Eleazar, 16 men in all were chosen. And 8 from Ithamar. That's 24. 24. There were 24 in all, and thus was ordained of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner. And these 24 divisions were called courses. This was their courses. Now there was many men under them appointed. Each one of these 24 had men under him in this. There was many priests. But they had their certain divisions, certain things that they, some of them bore the Ark of the Covenant, some of them did this, some of them did that. Some of them took care of the showbread, and some of them took care of this and took care of that. But these were called courses, and the 8th course was Abijah. You know how they say Abijah in the Greek? Abijah. So this is what he's telling you. This priest, this certain man, this Zacharias, he was of the course of Abijah in lineage. And his job was to do what was appointed to them to do, which was to burn incense. Are you with me so far? I'm trying to show you some details here because this is exactly what God's doing concerning John the Baptist. He's going to tell us about Zacharias. He's going to tell you about what happened in the past, what happened in the present, and what's going to happen in the future. There were various men of all these courses, and to each something called a lot. And as your lot come up, you went and you did whatever the course was responsible to do. So Zacharias was of the course of Abiah, verse 9, and his lot came up. And his lot, when it came up, caused him to go burn incense within the temple of the Lord. He wasn't a high priest, he was just a common priest, verse 8, executing the priest office before God. Now, in the tabernacle, I know some of you were here when we did our study of the tabernacle, but when you walk into the front door of the tabernacle, there was a room and a heavy veil hanging in the back of the room. And on the left was the table of showbread. It was, that bread was put on there every day. And then on the right-hand side of that room, it was much smaller than our auditorium. But if you can just vision me standing here, and there's that table sitting over there. And over here was the candlestick. This is the only light inside the tabernacle, the candlestick. And then right up against that veil, before you went to the other side of the veil, was this golden altar of incense. And they burnt incense on this altar. And that incense was a picture of the intercessory prayers of Christ, who intercedes for us and has been interceding for us before the foundation of the world. He's in heaven now, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. That's what the scripture says. He's still making intercession for us. And so this is what this represents. And so Zacharias is in there and he's burning this incense upon the altar. And suddenly, he looks over on the right hand side of that altar and there's an angel standing there. He's in the form of a man. He saw him as a man. And this angel tells him his wife's going to have a child. Well, it never gives us the age. We know Abraham was over 100 years old when the Lord fulfilled that same promise between him and his wife. And this man was probably getting up close to that. But he tells him that his wife's going to bring forth a son, and this son is going to be special. This boy's going to be special. He's not going to be like any other boy that you've ever met. And he said, you're going to have joy in him. You're not going to be sad. I have three children. I have some who make me sad, and I have some who make me happy. He said, you're going to have joy in this one. You're going to have joy in this one and gladness, and many are going to rejoice at his birth. And from what the scriptures say, it seems to me that John the Baptist was dedicated as a Nazarite because he wasn't to drink any wine or any strong drink and be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And this man, your son John, shall go before him, that is, before the Christ, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, John's called many things in the scriptures, but what I want you to see here is that John was a prophet. We always want to say, well, Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. Maybe that's so. But I think John the Baptist was the last prophet and the first prophet of the New Testament. He's a prophet. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:9, what did you go out for to see? When you went out there to the wilderness and groves, what did you go out there to see? They come back talking about it. Man, he's strange. He's wearing camel hair. He don't look like no preacher. He ain't got no robe on. He's a strange looking guy. What'd you go out there for to see? A prophet? This is our Lord talking. He said, yea, and I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now that takes in Moses. That takes in Abraham. That takes in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses. My soul, not a greater is risen than John the Baptist. And then the Lord tells us this in Luke 1:6. And both Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now I'm going to tell you something here. This is where natural men get all twisted with scriptures like this. And the Lord puts them in there on purpose. They're called gins and snares. And they get all sideways about these things. Foolish men use scriptures like this to say that we can obtain a righteousness by our obedience to the law. But I'm going to tell you something about that law. And he tells you this in Romans 3:24-25. He's talking about Old Testament saints in those two scriptures. How do I know that? Because in the next verse he says, And now. That was then and now. And here's what he says. God set forth his Son as the propitiation for our sins through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness in our salvation. Now that's what they saw in the law. That's what the law represented. That's what these ceremonies were setting forth. That lamb that was slain and put on that altar was to be looked at just as you would look for the coming Redeemer. This is setting forth the coming Redeemer in His character and His appointments. He's the substitute. He's the Lamb. And when John the Baptist identified the Lord, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, my soul. This is why they were righteous before God. You see, the man who trusts in the righteousness of Christ, he's righteous before God. The man who tries to produce a righteousness is unrighteous before God. That man who's over there trying to keep the law, he's trying to keep the Sabbath, he's trying to tithe, he's trying to dedicate, he's rededicating, he's doing this and he's doing that, and he's trying, listen to what Paul said. I pray, he said, the Holy Ghost will bear witness of this. He said, I could wish myself a curse for my kinsmen according to the flesh. He wanted them to be saved. That was his prayer to God, was for them to be saved. He said, I bear them witness. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. These two were righteous before God by faith. Just like Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, Paul said it wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that he said that, but for us also. Huh? So when it says that they were blameless, they were righteous before God and blameless concerning all of the commandments and all of the ordinances of the law. It's the only way you can keep the law is in Christ. Faith in Him. Faith in Him. He alone honored the law and exalted it, satisfied God's justice. Old Testament faith is the same as New Testament faith. It looked to the ceremonial law as a figure, Paul said, for the time then present. It was God's means for that day for God to set forth His Son as a propitiation for our sins. Now, I don't know if you recall, but I read to you this passage out of Nehemiah when we were doing the study of the Minor Prophets. But it says that they read the book of the law to them distinctly and gave the sense of it. That's in Nehemiah 8. They gave the sense of it, and he calls them to understand the reading. Now, that's what they did. That's what these priests' duties were in their day, is to take these things of God and tell them what they meant. Same as I do up here every Sunday morning. Same thing. There is no righteousness but of Christ, but Christ had not appeared yet. And so the ceremonies continued, and they were carefully attended to, knowing why they were given. Now, John the Baptist is the beginning of the gospel, as he was the fulfillment of scriptures and marked the coming of the Christ. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. What's that mean? That means, in short, salvation by grace. This man is going to accomplish everything that God demands from the sinner. This man is going to accomplish. He's going to make that straight. All this law business, legalism, ceremonialism, all this kind of stuff, it's a soap bubble. It's lies. The truth of it is Christ is our salvation. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He was sent to prepare the way of the Messiah. And in this sense, He's a picture of every New Testament preacher of the gospel, John. When our Lord sent out the 70, two by two, before His face, He sent them into every city and place whither He Himself would go. They were preparing those people for the coming of the Lord. And what do preachers do? Constantly. Every time we stand up to speak, what are we doing? We're preparing you for the coming of the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing. We're telling you who He is. Why He came. What He did. Where He's at. Is He coming back? He says He is. You going to be looking for Him? If you understand, you will. But those who don't understand, they're just going to be going about their business. Marrying and giving in marriage, doing this, doing that, doing something else. Without some knowledge of the gospel, Christ is left to the imaginations of men to think whatever they want to think. John came to make people know who He is. Same as we do. He preached where Jesus Himself would also come. And in that sense, He's the forerunner of Christ. And then He is the herald of the King. Behold the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world. And this was His witness to men. And it's my prayer that the Lord will make this our witness as well. Be our witness as well. Prepare. That's what God was doing. Preparing the way. Preparing the way. All right. Thank you.